السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون، أياما معدودات. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وقال: من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters, today we have gathered over here to have a little bit boost up for the forthcoming the holy month of Ramadan. It is very, very special and auspicious month. It is the master of the all the months. And ulama said, in this Mubarak month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow his special favors and mercy and blessings and rahmah, that all 11 months we don't have that much of mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They gave the example like the mercy during the month of Ramadan is like an ocean, and all 11 months is like one drop of the ocean. So you cannot compare the mercy of holy month of Ramadan with all other months of the year. Just for the taking barakah, inshallah, I'm going to read the hadith for the virtues of holy month of Ramadan. Hadith Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an is very close and beloved sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was from Persia. He was not Arab. He was non-Arab. But because of his sacrifices and zeal to find the truth, he made tremendous efforts and sacrifice. And eventually he ended up into Madinah Munawwara, and he embraced Islam on the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So because of his sacrifices, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam elevated his states to that extent. He says, Salman minna ahlul bayt. Salman radiallahu ta'ala an is amongst us, and not only amongst us, but he is one of my family members. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has highlighted his status in front of the Sahaba. Although he's from outsider and he's not Arab, don't disregard, because that was an asabiyat in Arab culture. They only used to believe they are superior creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and rest of the world, they don't know how to speak. Ajami. Ajam means a person who cannot express himself. So they used to be boasting on their poetry and on their understanding and their lisan and their language. That's why they used to disregard and disrespect the non-Arabs. Up till today, you find some Arabs are in that attitude. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed that attitude from the minds of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and he elevated this non-Arab Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu to that extent. He said, he is my family member, Ahl Bayt. So he narrated this hadith to show the importance of this holy month of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that on the last day of Sha'ban, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed us and said, O people, there comes over you now a great month, a most blessed month, in which lies a night more greater in virtue than 1,000 months. It is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting compulsory by day and has made sunnah, the Taraweeh, by night. So some of the people in today's time, they disregard Taraweeh. It's just the sunnah. Some of them just pray 8 rakat, they go away. But according to this hadith, even the Taraweeh Salah, it is made sunnah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep that in mind. So whosoever intends drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing any virtuous deed, for such a person shall be the reward like the one who had performed a farad in any other time. And whosoever perform a farad shall be blessed with the reward of 70 farad in any other time. It means during this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the reward of the action, reward of the amal. In normal days, if you make one farz salah, you will be getting the reward of one farz salah. And if you perform that farz salah with congregation, the reward will increase to 27 times. That's it. But during the month of Ramadan, same farz salah will increase to 70 times. So every farz salah, it will be equivalent to 70 times. And any nafal act, any sunnat act other than farz, if you perform or do other than Ramadan, it is recorded as just one nafal or sunnah. But this same sunnat or nafal act, for example, if you pray 2 rakat after farz, is sunnat or nafal. If you pray during the month of Ramadan, because of the blessing of Ramadan, the 2 rakat nafal will be recorded in your book of deed as a farz, equivalent to farz. Meaning its standard will be becoming higher than compared to any other month. This is the blessing of the month of Ramadan. So just think and ponder, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, every farz will be rewarded at 70 farais, right? So siyam, fasting during the month of Ramadan is farz. We are just keeping fast, one fast a day, from morning till evening. One fast, right? But because it is farz, so we are going to get the reward of fasting 70 times every single day. This is the blessing of the month of Ramadan. So actually, we are fasting for 30 days or 29 days. But in our book of deed will be written for every day 70 fasting, 70 siyam. So 30 by 70 is how much? 2100? That many fasting will be recorded in our book. This is the blessing of this holy month of Ramadan. Then Rasulullah further said, this indeed the month of patience. This is a very important point we all have to understand, because we are so short tempers, and especially when we are suffering, we are hungry, we are thirsty, things are not happening according to our plan. Something is happening, you know. So we lose our temper very quickly because we are hungry, right? So this is the month of patience, month of sabr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the reward for the true patience is the Jannah. We have to establish our sabr and patience. Meaning anything happens against our wish, against our desire, and we are going to get angry, control your nafs, control your anger, control your tongue. That controlling, it is hard, it is difficult, but that is the process of discipline. We are disciplining our nafs, our carnal desire. So if you control and don't react, don't shout your wife if she doesn't cook properly, or don't shout your children, or any your co-worker, or anyone, you know, anything goes wrong, be patient. Be patient. That's the main tool. So if you express your patience, expose your patience for any inconvenient things happen to you, then the reward will be Jannah. That for true patience, Rasulullah said, the reward is paradise. Then it is a, it is the month of sympathy with the one's fellow one. Because we all are fasting, we all are hungry. Think about the poor, destitute, misfortune people or less fortunate people who got nothing for the suhoor, who got nothing for iftar. So if you are cooking two, three items at home, share one item with our neighbors or with those poor Muslim brothers, if you know in our neighborhood, go and give it to them before iftar so they can break fast or have something to eat after iftar. So you have to show the sympathy during the month of Ramadan. It is the month wherein the true believer's risk is increased. Because of the barakah of during the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases our risk. And that we notice every individual. We are not eating during the month, all 11 months, as much as we are eating just in one month. For iftar, we have so many varieties on our table. So many kind of fruits and samosas and rolls and what and what. And same thing with the suhoor also. So as many items, delicious items, because of the barakat of Ramadan, we are having and enjoying, which we don't see the rest of the 11 months. So this is shows and proves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases our risk during the month of Ramadan. Whosoever feeds another who fasted in order to break the fast, for the feeder there shall be forgiveness of sins and emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Two rewards. His sins will be forgiven and he will get freedom from the hellfire. Meaning, if some you bring something with you and sit together with your brothers, and whatever you brought from the house, give it to him also to break the fast. So by doing this act, you will get the tremendous reward. Your sins will be forgiven and you will get entry into the paradise. And this is comes our iftar party. You see, so if we make something, cook at home and bring it to the masjid and share with 10, 20 people or our relatives, friends, that iftar, make it with this intention that, oh Allah, I am preparing this food for others to gain the reward, to ask forgiveness and to get entry into the paradise. Not for the show off that I can feed 1,000 people. That's a wrong attitude. Ikhlas and sincerity is the condition for acceptance of every amal. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were very amazed. So Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are poor people. We cannot afford to give someone or to feed him full stomach. They thought feeding meaning to give him amount of food which he can satisfy. And he said, we cannot afford. We hardly eat for ourselves. How we can, you know, share with others when we don't have in our hands? So in other words, we are going to be deprived of this reward because we cannot afford it. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the same reward to the one who gives a fasting person to break the fast a mere date, or a drink of water, or a sip of milk, and that everybody can afford. You bring two dates, take one and give one date to your brother. You bring two water bottles, one you use, one bottle you give it to your brother. That little amount, we think is insignificant. The water bottle is how much is going to cost? Few cents. But giving to other brother, that will give the reward of same reward as you are feeding a person full stomach. So quantity is not counted, rather the quality is counted with your intention, your niyat. This is the month, the first of which brings Allah's mercy, the middle of which brings His forgiveness, and the last of which brings emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided all 30 days into three groups or three parts. First 10 days are days of rahmah and mercy. And second 10 days are days of maghfirat and forgiveness. And last 10 days are the days of the freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Whosoever lessens the burden of the servants in this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him and free him from the fire of Jahannam. And in this month, four things, Rasulullah said, four things you should continue to perform in great number. Two of it shall be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while the other two shall be those without which you cannot do. Those which shall be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are that you should in great quantity bear witness that there is none deity of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning keep on saying kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Continuously walking, sitting, doing something, driving, waiting for somebody, shopping. Your tongue should be engaged and busy with zikrullah, with the kalima tayyiba abundantly. And second thing is istighfar. Because the whole purpose of fasting and sacrificing is to gain a forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why by tongue also we should keep on saying istighfar abundantly. And as of for those without which you cannot do, you should beg to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrance into the paradise and ask refuge in from Jahannam. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannata wa a'udhu bika minan nar. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannata wa a'udhu bika minan nar. If you don't know Arabic, you can say in your own word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands every language. So just ask Allah, forgive me, grant me entry into the paradise through your mercy and protect me from the hellfire. Grant me Jannah, protect me from the hellfire. Keep on making this dua during the whole month of Ramadan. And whosoever gave a person who fasted water to drink, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall grant that giver to drink from my fountain, Hawz-e Kawthar. Such a drink, whereafter that person shall never again feel thirsty until he enters Jannah. May Allah give us tawfiq to practice upon this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, this holy month of Ramadan is a special gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only exclusively to this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All previous nations, they never had opportunity of fasting the whole month of Ramadan. But fasting, the form of fasting, this ibadah is common and general from the Adam alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam. Every Nabi, every Rasul fasted, and their nation and ummah also fasted. But the time of fasting, the rules of the fasting were totally different. The months of the fasting, the days of the fasting were totally different. They never had month of Ramadan. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam fasted. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, as we heard the story, when his ark settled on the Mount Judi, then he commanded all his was dwellers of the boat in ark that you must appreciate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected us from the flood. Now we must fast to show the gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After they settled down, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam fasted, and all the believers at the time, they were fasted. Similarly, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam used to fast. Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam used to fast. Hazrat Hajar and Sarah used to fast. And if you come down to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, before he was granted the Torah, he fasted for 40 days. He went to the Mount Tur, and there he fasted. First he fasted 30 days. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, increase more 10 days. So he completed all 40 days. Likewise, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam also fasted for 40 days. And when Fir'aun was following Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel, and when he came to the Red Sea, and by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he strike onto the water and split to the 12 ways, and they passed through the whole Bani Israel group, including Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So when they went to the other bank of the ocean, then Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam commanded Bani Israel to fast. And that fast was so common, it is called the Yawm-e Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. That the day when they got freedom from the Fir'aun and Fir'aun was drowned into the Red Sea, that incident took place on the 10th of Muharram. From that day onwards, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in Jewish community, the Bani Israel, they used to fast every year on the 10th of Muharram, which is called Yawm-e Ashura. To that extent, our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhi majma'in, all 13 years of the life in Makkah Mukarramah, there was no Ramadan. So they were only fasting on the 10th of Muharram, Yawm-e Ashura. And the fasting of Yawm-e Ashura was compulsory in all 13 years of Islam in Makkah Mukarramah. Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhi majma'in and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast during the 10th of Muharram. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast 3 days, Ayyam-e Bid, every month, 13, 14 and 15 of the month, throughout the year. That was his Mubarak Sunnah. Ayyam-e Bid, the brighter days of the month, 13, 14 and 15, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast. Plus Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast every Monday and every Thursday, every week, Monday and Thursday. So Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhi asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you fasting every Monday? So he said, I was born on Monday and I migrate on Monday, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me first revelation is also on Monday. There are so many incidents took place in my life on Monday. So Monday is a very special day. I want to show my gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I am fasting every Monday and every Thursday. And another reason was that every Monday and Thursday, in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam given reason for that every Monday and every Thursday, twice a week, our amal, our actions go to the heaven, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows everything, but this is the system. So every Monday and every Thursday, the book of deeds, our angels take from us and present in front of Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed his desire that I wish that when my book of deed, when my amal presented in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I should be in a state of fasting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can appreciate my sacrifice. That was the reason our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast every Monday and every Thursday. But when he migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah, now in second year after the Hijrah, after migration, this ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Oh, you believe that fasting made compulsory upon you people as it was compulsory upon the previous nations, so you may obtain the taqwa and piety and righteousness. So in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted that fasting is the common practice among all the nations. Don't feel it burden. It is not only on you. It was in previous nation as well. In fact, if you study the religion of the worlds, every religion, they have certain days of fasting. As I said, the biggest religion is Judaism. They used to fast in certain days, in certain time. But their fast used to be from the sunset all night. They cannot eat anything, and they used to eat the next day. So this fast was very, very tough. And before they used to get, until now they have tradition that before they're getting married, the bride and groom has to fast. The day before wedding, they fast to have some blessing from God Almighty. Likewise, in Hinduism also, there are so many days and months they are fasting to please their deity or to have some, whatever their desire and needs is there. And even some kings, when they want to ascend onto the throne, they want to become a king, the day before they had to fast to please their God. So there were so many traditions in this sense that every religion, Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism. You study in their books, even Chinese. They also used to fast, and still they are fasting certain days and certain nights. Anyway, so this is the common practice done in every religion, and people are doing in different reasons. And some of them are fasting for the scientific reason as well, because there are so many physical benefits of fasting, staying hungry. Nowadays, there are so many experiments and things are happening. And one of the doctors has proven after the research that the cure to the cancer is also fasting. By fasting certain days, your cancer can get removed. That is also one of the study. But anyway, we don't think of the worldly benefits. Rather, we focus ourselves onto our akhirah, the benefit, the spiritual benefit, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be our main purpose and reason of fasting. Now, because this is such a great month, to show the greatness and virtues of this month, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preparing prior to the Ramadan, and what is our preparation, we also preparing before Ramadan comes. We also worried about Ramadan, but our preparation unfortunately is only for our stomach. We make sure our fridge, our deep freezer should be full with the chickens and nuggets and samosas and what and what. So during the month of Ramadan, we don't need to run around. Everything is there. We stock so much in deep freeze and fridge that we don't feel any shortness. You know, beef and chicken and goat and lamb, everything. That is our preparation. That I should not stay hungry after iftar. I should have varieties of food on my tables. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the greatness of this holy month, it comes in the riwayat, prior to the Ramadan, all the stars are shining or more brighter than the usual. The wind is blowing more gently, and the animals also are moving very softly. Because all these nations, all these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they know, they are aware of the greatness of this holy month of Ramadan. So they show and they practice in this regard. Before Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called in charge of the Jannah, Ridwan, and instruct him specially that, O Ridwan, you decorate the paradise for my believers. So he take the task. Like if we have wedding or something happening in our house, we prepare 6 months, year before. Book the hall, you know, book the cook and cater and what, and shopping, which shop we should go, which kind of clothing we design. We prepare all those things because the event is taking place in our house. We prepare for it. So likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing in the heavens. He's instructing Ridwan, the in charge of paradise, that, O Ridwan, decorate paradise for my believers. They are going to fast the whole month of Ramadan. So it comes in the riwayat that the Ridwan start working on it. And he has thousands of angels with him, under his control. And they all are busy decorating paradise every single day for the believers. And he said, all the gates of the paradise should be wide open. So all the gates of paradise, 8 gates of the paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep it open throughout the month of Ramadan. Then he called the in charge of the hell, Malik, and instruct him that, O Malik, close down all the gates of Jahannam. So my servants, my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummati should not enter into the hell during the month of Ramadan. So all the gates of the hells are closed during the whole month of Ramadan. for the respect of the holy month of Ramadan. And then he called Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, the master of the angels, and instruct him that, O Jibreel, go down onto the earth and change all the shayateen and throw them into the ocean, so they do not disturb and whisper while my servants are worshipping. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making sure even our biggest enemy, devil, shaitan, should not interrupt during the month of Ramadan. So Hazrat Jibreel salam comes down with the group of angels, and he captures all the shayateen and devils, chain them and throw them into the ocean, so they cannot disturb our fasting, our prayers, our recitation of the Quran, our zikrullah, etc. Now the question arises, we found there are so many Muslims during the month of Ramadan, they are still smoking, they are not fasting, they are swearing, they are fighting. How it's happening? Shaitan is not there. So another riwayat comes, he said that during the month of Ramadan, only the leaders of the shayateen and devil are changed. The young one, you know, the small one, they are still free. So they are interfering. And other reason is this, because we are so used to with the impression and company of shayateen for all 11 months. So that impression remains in our minds and in our heart. So even the boss is not there, we still continue because we are habitual. That is our second habit, to commit a sin, to violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of that habit, we still continue committing sin. And we don't feel any difference between the Ramadan or out of Ramadan. But anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing so much. Then from the very first day of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend on the heaven. Likewise, every day, every night, at the tahajjud time, last portion of the night, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend on the earth, the first heaven, and make announcement through the angels, is there anyone asking maghfirat, I can forgive? Is there anyone asking increasement in the risk, I can increase? Is there anyone who is suffering from any disease, I can remove his disease, etc.? This kind of announcement every night, tahajjud time, the angel is announcing. But we are snoring at the time. But during the month of Ramadan, the difference is, this announcement starts from the sunset. Allah's mercy starts from the sunset. And whole night, the angels are proclaiming, they are announcing this kind of thing. And as we just hear in the hadith, that every nafal act will be elevated to the faraz. Every faraz will be increased to the 70 times. And this is the reward of fasting during the month of Ramadan. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has much, so much preparation for the holy month of Ramadan. What is the wisdom? Why do we have to fast? One of the important reasons is to discipline our nafs and control our carnal desires. We are responsible to discipline our inner selves. We have nafs with us. وَمَا أُبَرِيُوا نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّءٍ. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam said that I cannot have trust on my nafs. My nafs is always, you know, forcing me or diverting me towards committing sin. So when we control our nafs, we gain so much. It is only controlled by keeping it hungry and thirsty. Our carnal desire, our nafs, can get control only when you keep it hungry and thirsty. So fasting is the most effective method to discipline our nafs. We gain so many benefits of this world by fasting. As I said, it is cure for the cancer as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided this holy month of Ramadan in three parts, as we heard from the hadith, that first 10 days of rahmah, the second days, 10 days are days of maghfirat and forgiveness, and last 10 days of freedom from the hellfire. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, a very great saint, of Islam, he said there are three kind of fasting. One fast is a general fast, staying away from drinking and eating and marital benefit from the dawn to sunset. That is a general common fast. And that is one category. Then he said above that, the second category is by keeping fast of not drinking and eating. On top of that, controlling our all limbs and organs of the body. That is second stage. Meaning, sometimes people are fasting, but they are swearing. People are fasting, they are getting angry. People are fasting, they are hitting somebody. So, one type they are fasting, but they are not controlling their limbs and their organs of the body. So, they are failing in that regard. So, second category of fast is, according to Imam Ghazali, with fasting, staying hungry and thirsty, over and above, you should control your nerves and your limbs and organs of the body. Control your eyes. You should not look at any haram things. Control your tongue. You should not utter any haram word, not abuse. Not listen. Control your ear. Not listen any music, backbiting, etc. So you have to make sure your limbs of the body also are protected and they are also fasting in a sense. Fasting of limbs and organs is not committing sin. Refraining from the sin. Abstaining from the sin. That is called the fasting of the eyes and tongue and ear, etc. So that is the second category. And we should try to be in that stage. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in one of the hadiths. If a person is fasting but is not controlling his tongue, is abusing his tongue, then Allah doesn't like that kind of fasting. Another hadith, the mafhum Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, there are many fasting people, they are fasting whole day but not gaining anything other than staying hungry. Whole day they are staying hungry, but they're not achieving any reward. Why? They did not control their tongue. They did not control their eyes. Likewise, a person standing whole night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallam said, is not getting or achieving anything out of it instead of staying tired. He's getting tired whole night, not sleeping. But because of his sins, he's not controlling his limbs. He's not getting anything out. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one of the hadiths that your fasting is the shield until you don't break it. So Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, how this shield can break? He said, by abusing your tongue, swearing, hurting somebody. So in that case, your reward will go away. You stay hungry, but you won't achieve any reward out of it. So this is very, very essential and very, very important for us to control our limbs and our organs as well during the month of Ramadan. This is why in one of the hadiths, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is your responsibility to protect your saum, your fasting from morning till evening is your responsibility. So first of all, you should not start fighting or quarreling, arguing with anybody. You control your nafs, control yourself, control your anger. But if someone start with you, you are just going through and someone just attack on you or is insulting you, abusing you, in that case also, tell him, brother, I am fasting. I'll see you after Ramadan. But don't say like that. But this is what it is. During the month of Ramadan, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to abuse you because I am fasting. At least if you don't know you are fasting or not, I don't care. But I am fasting. I have to protect my fast. And third category, which is higher and varies over and above, that even in your mind, in your heart, there should be no thought of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in your mind, if someone else's thought crossing, your fast will break. spiritually, not physically. Not Sharia wise, but spiritually, your fast will break if you think during the day other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is very high category, very high level. No one can do it except Anbiya alayhim salam. Because Anbiya alayhim salam's hearts are linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And they are always increasing. So that's why they can control their minds and they can control their hearts. They cannot think anyone else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. But for us, it is not practical. It is not possible. But at least we should try to be in the second category. As we are fasting, we should try to control our tongue, our eyes, our anger, our heart, etc. Don't look at anyone which is not lawful. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever fasts with the faith and hope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his sins. In the beginning I recited the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man sama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambi. If you fasting with iman and conviction in faith and getting the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all your sins will be forgiven. And there is a special gate in Jannah. Out of 8 gates of paradise, one gate name is Ar-Rayyan. And this is special gate on the day of Qiyamah. The angel will announce, Aina Sa'imun, Aina Sa'imun. Where are those who used to fast during their lifetime? So a group of people will arise. Inshallah, we will be among them. And the angel will, take them through this gate, Babur Rayyan. And only those sa'imun, only those fasting people will be able to go through with this very, very special gate of paradise. And the real purpose of fasting is to gain taqwa and piety. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. How we can gain piety and taqwa and God-fearing? Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala an, one of the prominent sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the taqwa, the real meaning, to do all halal and lawful things and abstain and refrain from all the haram and unlawful things, this is called taqwa. Every halal you must do, every haram you must abstain. If you practice throughout your life, this is called a taqwa. Sheikh Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi said, a taqwa does not mean to stay hungry the whole day and stand in worship whole night. Rather, taqwa is to quit all the haram things and practice on all the obligatory acts. This is called taqwa. Quitting the haram things and practicing on the halal things, this is called the real taqwa. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in one of the hadith that my ummah has given 5 things which previous ummah were deprived of. They were fasting. As I said, Jews were fasting, Christians were fasting, but they had no opportunity or reward like Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, the special favor for us only is the bad smell of the mouth of the fasting person is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the musk. The fragrance, when a bad smell comes out because of the hunger, that bad smell Allah loves because that bad smell is because of staying hungry, and staying hungry because of the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates it and He loves that bad smell more than the musk. Second thing, all the fishes in the ocean make dua maghfirat for the fasting person till sunset. There are countless fishes in the oceans. We cannot even count how many. So they all are, during the whole month of Ramadan, keep on making istighfar for the person who is fasting. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decorates the paradise for them every single day. Every single day, new design and new plan. Number four, shayateen are changed so they cannot interrupt the worship of the believers. In the time of Musa alayhi salam, in the time of Isa alayhi salam, shaitan used to be free. Their fasting days also. But for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a special arrangement and it changed all the shayateen so they cannot interrupt and whisper during the month of Ramadan. Number five, on the last night of Ramadan, they all are forgiven. All fasting people are forgiven at the end of the month. Siyam and Quran, this is all the one of the benefit that Siyam and Quran both will intercede on behalf of us, on the fasting people, on the day of Qiyamah. The Siyam will intercede, Ya Allah, forgive him because I made him hungry and thirsty whole day, whole month. Please accept my intercession on his behalf. And Allah will accept the intercession of Ramadan on our behalf. Likewise, the Quran will stand up. And he say, Ya Allah, he was so tired, he was so, you know, exhausted. Still, I made him stand in Taraweeh prayer, all 20 rakat, 2 hours, 1.5 hours. He was tired, but was standing, listening the Quran. Please forgive him and grant him Jannah. Allah will accept the intercession of the Holy Quran if we pray 20 rakat. But if you run away after 8 rakat, the Quran will not going to intercede. So think about it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said in one of the hadith that this is the month of patience. That's why we have to express our patience with everybody. Many fasting people don't get anything from their fast except the hunger, and many people don't achieve anything by standing at night in ibadah except the tiredness. And as we know, my brothers, I'm just going to go through fast because we don't have enough time. In this holy month of Ramadan, as Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us one great night. Laylatun khayrun min alf shahr. Laylatul Qadr. And is revolving throughout the month. It's not only 27th of Ramadan. It's any night can be the night of Laylatul Qadr, night of power. And that if you get that night, then inshallah you'll get the reward of worshipping for 1,000 months. So we should try to achieve. And then last 10 days are more virtuous days. Then we should try to keep the itikaf in last 10 days. It's a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Throughout his life, he practiced the last 10 days, especially sitting itikaf in masjid for the male. And even our sisters and mothers can sit. They can sit in their house in the small room, where in their bedroom or whatever corner they can choose and select, and remain in this 10 days in that corner, and they can worship, and they can also get the reward of itikaf. Like Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Hafsa, Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu anha, they used to sit in itikaf in last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. Now I'll go through quickly, inshallah, the rules and regulations of the fast, then inshallah we'll conclude. The valid reason for not fasting. There are Shariat excuse some people in some circumstances, in some situation where you can postpone or the fasting can be forgiven. Number one, if a person is musafir during the month of Ramadan, if he is traveling, then because of traveling and suffer, he is excused. And he can fast and make the the missing days when he return back from his journey. Number two, sickness. During the month of Ramadan, a person is got such a severe kind of sickness or disease, he got no physical power, strength. So he also excuse until he get cured, then he had to remake it after Ramadan. Number three, for our sisters and mothers, pregnancy. During the month of Ramadan, during the month of Ramadan, if any sister is pregnant, she is excused not to fast because it can be harmful for the fetus, for the baby in the womb. Number four, suckling. After the birth, the 2.5 years, they have to feed, breastfeeding. So it comes during the month of Ramadan, they are also excused. Intensity of hunger and thirst. A person is so poor and is so hungry and thirsty, he got nothing for suhoor, he got nothing for iftar. He got nothing. So that kind of person is excused because he got nothing to eat. How is he going to fast? And weakness in old age. This is one of the reason a person is excused. He is very weak physically and is very old. In this condition also, he can excuse from the fasting. Risk of life, unconsciousness, and jihad or insanity. A person is taking part in jihad during the month of Ramadan. He also excused from fasting, but he had to make up after the jihad is over. We have to make the niyyah, because innamal a'malu bin niyyah. So if a person is staying hungry and thirsty but is not making niyyah, he will not get the reward of the fast. So we have to make niyyah maybe at night or at the time of suhoor. We have to make niyyah. You can make niyyah in any language if you don't know Arabic word. Bisawmi ghadin nawaitu is easy niyyah. Bisawmi ghadin nawaitu. If you don't know that much also, you can make niyat in any other language. I have an intention to keep fast of Ramadan today. So every day you make this niyat at night or at the time of suhoor. The ulama said the sahri is equal to the niyat. If you wake up morning time with this intention, I'm going to eat and then I'm going to fast, that your sahri is also regarded as a niyat. One can make niyat at night or during the day before Zawal time. If you're forgetting, then you can still make it before Zawal. Because every day fast is a separate fast, that's why we have to make niyat for every single day. The things that don't break the fast, certain things will not break the fast. Number one, eating or drinking forgetfully. If you eat or drink something and you don't remember you are fasting during the day, and then after eating you realize, oh, I was fasting. Continue till iftar. Don't tell anybody that I have must lunch today as Burger King. Don't tell. Just keep it to yourself. But keep that, inshallah, you're going to get reward. And iftar, that fast will be counted. Because you ate or drink forgetfully. Okay. The other thing is to apply oil on the head or anywhere on the body. Applying hair, especially our woman folk has long hairs. If they want to apply hair, the oil on the hair, during the day, the fast will not break. Or any lotion you can apply on your body, it will not break the fast. Likewise, a person applying surma, alcohol in the eyes, that will also allowed, it will not break the fast. Removal of the blood. During the day, if you have to have blood test, you can do a blood test, or she can do blood test, taking out the blood from your nose will not break the fast. Your fast will be continued. Likewise, if you can get shot, injection, during the fasting time, it will not break the fast. So many people ask this, mas'ala always, that I have an appointment and doctor going to give me shot, my fast will break or not. No, your fast will not break. Because that medicine, whatever is, goes to the nerves, it doesn't go to the stomach. So that's why it is allowed to have injections, shots, as many you like during the fasting days. Involuntarily entry of the smoke. You are passing through somewhere and there's a smoke, or someone is smoking cigarette and you're going through it, but accidentally that smoke, enter into your throat, or any fly or any dust enter mistakenly in your throat, that will not break the fast. To wake up in a state of janaba, wet dream. You, afternoon, or morning you were sleeping, and when you woke up 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you found a wet dream, that will not break your fast. Wet dream will not break your fast. Just take shower and become pure. To swallow the mucus is not good thing. But if someone is swallowing the mucus, it will not break the fast. Vomiting involuntarily, and then vomit went back inside. He was vomiting, then went back inside his throat. That will also not break the fast, if not intentionally. It just accidentally happened. To eat something less than a grain size, which was stuck in the teeth. Sometimes something is stuck in the teeth. You take out, you eat, and this is less than a grain size, that is allowed, that will not break. To take a shot, as I said, water enters the ears. While you are showering, some water enter in your ears, that will not break the fast. Swallowing of the saliva, that also not break the fast. Taking a bath to cool down during the day will not break the fast. You can take shower during the day. And applying the perfume, any ether, any fragrance you can apply during the day, it will not break the fast. Brushing the teeth without the paste. Make sure if you woke up 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, you want to clean your teeth, but don't use the toothpaste or tooth powder. Just use the brush only. If you're just rubbing the brush, that is okay. But you using the toothpaste, that will break the fast. So best thing is, during the month of Ramadan, we should use the miswak. Miswak has so many benefits as usual every day, but especially during the month of Ramadan, the reward will increase if you use the miswak. Now, the things which break the fast, anything put by force into the mouth of the fasting person. Someone, you know, captured him and he forced him, like in China, in some countries, they don't allow to fast. They're a communist country. So if he's working and the boss or supervisor found out that the Muslim is fasting, they captured him, they put the lunchtime food in his mouth. So if someone is, even by force, putting the food in the mouth, the fast will break. He will not get sin because he's majboor, he's oppressed. But his fast will not continue, it fast will break. A water goes down the throat while gargling. Be careful during the month of Ramadan, while you are making wuzu or taking shower, you should not gargle that long, that water goes through the throat. If it goes down the throat, even you are making wudu, that will break your fast. So very be careful during the month of Ramadan. Don't gargle too much. To vomit mouthful intentionally. If someone is intentionally vomiting, then it fast will break. Swallowing a pebble, a piece of paper, or any item that is not used as food intentionally. Eating something bigger than the size of grain which was stuck in the teeth. If the size of grain, bigger size, then it will break the fast. Putting the oil into the ears. During the month of Ramadan, while fasting, his ears is hurting, so paining, so he put some, oil into the ear, that will break the fast. You cannot use the oil in the ears. Inhaling snuff into the nostril. A person is suffering from asthma or any kind of things. If during the fasting, this is going to inhale, use the inhalers, that will break the fast. You cannot use it. Swallowing of the blood from the gums. Sometimes from the gums, the blood comes out with the saliva, and he swallows the saliva, but he feel the taste of the blood, or he can see it's reddish. Saliva is reddish. And so it means the blood is more than saliva. So in that case, if he's eating that the saliva with the blood, this fast will break. To eat or drink forgetfully and then eat second time, thinking his fast was broken. First time, as I said, if he eat something or drink something forgetfully, it is okay, he should continue. But now his thing is, since I ate already or I drank already, now my fast is broken. Then second time, he is eating by himself. So that second time eating deliberately, intentionally, that's why his fast will break. First time it will not break. To eat or drink after Subah Sadiq or break the fast before sunset. Be careful, sometimes people think the time of Suhoor is until the Azan is going on. That is wrong concept. Don't continue eating until you hear the Azan, then you stop, then you make Niyat. You already, your fast is broken. That is the Subah Sadiq time, ending fasting time, follow it. You have a calendar, follow the time and stop 10 minutes before Subah Sadiq. That is good enough to protect ourselves. And likewise, before even sun is not set, but his watch saying sun is set, he's following the watch. Sometimes the watch is faulty and he broke his fast before the sunset. So be careful in this regard. If you are eating all the way till after Subah Sadiq, or you break your fast before actual sunset,
then that day of fast will be broken invalid. To inhale smoke or cigarette or agarbatti, etc., that will break the fast. Using the nozzle spray or any kind of gel will break the fast. Asthmatic inhalers, whether it's wet or dry, that will break the fast. Now, very quickly, the things are makruh while fasting. Makruh meaning undesirable. We should not do it. Our fast will not break, but we should not do it. Avoid it. Number one, to chewing gum. It's fasting, but you're having chewing gum is makruh. Rubber, plastic, or any such thing you're putting in the mouth and he's playing with it, that will makruh. To taste any article of food or drink and spit out. If a woman has a very ill-tempered husband, then it is permissible for her to taste the food, but it should not go down the throat. You know how Sharia is, you know, protecting our sisters, you know. If some sister have very ill-tempered husband, that after iftar, if the food is salty or more spicy, he going to start beating her after iftar. Because after iftar, he think I can beat, I can hit. My roza is done already. So they can take advantage. That's why that kind of woman, while she is cooking, she is fasting and cooking, she can taste little bit, the salt is okay or spice is okay or not. Is allowed to taste, but that should not go down the throat. She should spit out immediately. To complain of hunger and thirst is also makruh. To take the water into the nostril when cleaning the nose. To gargle the more than necessary. Gargling only 3 times is keep on gargling. 4, 5, 6 times. That is makruh. To quarrel, to fight, to argue, to use bad words, to backbite, tell lies and swear. All these things are makruh while you are fasting. Now the last masala is about fidya. Fidya is very old person who does not have the strength to fast, or very sickly or diseased person who has no hope of recovery after Ramadan should give fidya for each fast of Ramadan. This fidya is only for very elderly person and very old person, very sick person. They are only allowed to give fidya. Fidya meaning in today's time approximately $10 per fast. So for the whole month of Ramadan, he should pay $300. That will be regarded a fidya for this kind of person. Inshallah. Any question quickly, then inshallah we have the khatam of Quran.